So here's an article from a website that is no longer active. It is called councilforresponsiblegenetics.org/genewatch/genewatchpage.aspx. Now, it says here, Synthetic Biology, the Next Wave of Patents on Life, by J.D. Hansen and Eric Hoffman. It says here, Synthetic Biology, the design and construction of new biological parts, devices, and systems that do not exist in the natural world, and the redesigning of existing biological systems to perform specific tasks, will bring the next wave of patents on living organisms. Synthetic biology not only poses new challenges to biosafety and biosecurity, but also to our patent system. Discussions on gene patents must include synthetic DNA, lest technology again jumps ahead of our patent system and we spend decades trying to play catch-up. Instead of inserting genes from one species into another, what is called traditional genetic engineering, synthetic biologists claim that they aim to create a life from scratch, with computer-synthesized DNA, or without the use of DNA entirely, much of what is called synthetic biology. However, this does not achieve this level of change. Nonetheless, in May 2010, J. Craig Venter, and his team announced that they had created the world's first organism with a synthetic genome. The success of Venter's team may be more in the area of patents that will apply to his new techniques than in actually having created synthetic life. Dr. David Baltimore, a leading geneticist at Caltech, described the work to the New York Times as a technical tour de force, but not breakthrough science, but just a matter of scale. He has not created life, only mimicked it. The Venter team could not get the cell to reproduce without placing the synthetic genome in a pre-existing cell, which was naturally inclined to make sense of the transplanted DNA and to turn genes on and off. In effect, the bacteria did what they have done for eons. Swapped DNA. Still, this was the first time much of the public had heard of synthetic biology, and was a wake-up call to many that current regulations around biotechnology are already outdated. Unfortunately, while Venter's team may have only copied the genome of a goat pathogen, their intellectual tour de force includes patenting each of the steps in the process that they use to make the copy. Nobel Prize winner John Sulston has argued that Venter is interested primarily in patenting the process to exclude free research by others. In 1980, the Supreme Court ruled in Diamond versus Chakraborty that genetically engineered life forms could be patented. So the Supreme Court ruled that genetically engineered life forms could be patented in the 1980s. The case was referring to more traditional genetic engineering. In this case, bacterium that was engineered to eat crude oil. But the court's ruling will undoubtedly be extended to the products of synthetic biology. The ruling states, the patentee has produced a new bacterium with markedly different characteristics from any found in nature, and one having the potential for significant utility. His discovery was not nature's handiwork, but his own. Accordingly, it is a patentable subject matter. Venter's inclusion of an additional DNA to mark the synthetic genome as his own is an additional step that makes clear that his invention does not exist in nature. Since then, patents on naturally occurring genes and DNA sequences have been granted. Despite the court's clear message that naturally occurring DNA is not patentable, currently over 20% of the human genome has been patented, as well as thousands of plants, animals, viruses, vaccines, just let that sink in, and they didn't say that part, but I'm just saying that part, viruses and bacterial DNA sequences that have naturally evolved over billions of years, but were pulled out of the commons into private hands through patents and intellectual property rights. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office currently argues that the mere act of isolating DNA is an inventive step worthy of a patent, while the Department of Justice has argued in a brief to the court that merely isolating DNA is not sufficient enough for a patent. The Venters team work goes beyond isolating DNA to actually writing the sequence and getting it to boot up. Those are their words, not mine. Now, with a synthetic biology, mere isolating is not even necessary. One could theoretically upload a DNA sequence onto a computer, print out an exact copy of that DNA sequence, and patent the synthetic DNA sequence as an invention. Now, this is my words, not theirs. What you have injected into yourself is a synthetic RNA. Synthetic DNA. This is what we're talking about. This is all related. Back to the article here. Less theoretical and with many more commercial applications is creating copies of natural DNA and making slight tweaks to the genome. As the inventive step worthy of a patent, in effect, synthetic biologists are able to evolve organisms through computer algorithms and create novel DNA sequences that can be then printed out and inserted into an organism. Like what? Like a human, huh? Patents have already been granted on many of the processes and products involved in synthetic biology, including patents on methods for building synthetic DNA, synthetic genes, and DNA sequences, synthetic pathways, synthetic proteins. Come on, guys. Synthetic proteins. Come on, guys. And amino acids and novel nucleotides that replace the letters of DNA. For example, in 2007, J. Craig Venter Institute applied for a frighteningly broad patent of its minimal bacterial genome called Mycoplasma laboratorium. This organism was an attempt to create life with the minimum number of genes by cutting out as many DNA sequences as possible without removing its ability to reproduce or survive. U.S. patent numbers U.S. 2007-02-64688 and U.S. 2007-02-69862 describes creation of the first ever entirely synthetic living organism, a novel bacterium whose entire genetic information is constructed from synthesized DNA, but whose genome is a near replica of a naturally occurring genome. This patent claims exclusive monopoly on the genes in the minimal bacterial genome. The entire organism made from these genes, a digital version of the organism's genome, and any version of that genome or organism that could make fuels such as ethanol or hydrogen, any method of producing those fuels that uses this organism, the process of testing a gene's function by inserting other genes into the synthetic organism, and a set of non-essential genes. These patents are not restricted to any specific cell type, meaning humans, yes, it currently applies to prokaryotes and eukaryotes, or size of a synthetic genome. While these patents have yet to be granted at this point, this is a very old document, the claim shows the extent to which some synthetic biologists are testing the limits in the battle to control the fundamental building blocks of life and actual living organisms. While it is likely that the specific patent application's scope will be limited to cover only bacterial cells, such a patent would still grant inventor and company an exclusive license to create synthetic fuel producing bacteria and the tools to create such organisms. Conveniently, Venter's company, Synthetic Genomics, has contracts in both ExxonMobil and BP to produce the next generation biofuels from synthetic cells, or at least genetically engineered cells that contain synthetic DNA sequences. Amyris Biotechnologies is a synthetic biology company that used genetically engineered yeast that contains synthetic DNA to break down sugarcane to produce isoprenoids, which are being converted to biofuels, industrial chemicals, along other products. Patent to US 7659097, granted Amyris in February 2010, covers the production of many isoprenoids created through a number of different microbes. Amyris has deals with major oil and chemical companies to turn Brazilian sugarcane into the high-value commodities. Again, Amyris's biosynthetic pathways are near copies of metabolic pathways found in nature, with some tweaking of the DNA pathways to allow the yeast to do some things that traditional genetic engineering could not accomplish. Let me just break from this article for a second here to let you guys know that Bill Gates has bought a startup company that does genetic engineering with yeast. Not sure what he's trying to do with that, but let's all be aware of that. Do our own research. It says here that the novel challenge creating by the emerging field of synthetic biology is that not only can natural or synthesized DNA be patented, but the processes used to synthesize DNA and create synthetic organisms can also be patented. Furthermore, the living organisms created with synthetic DNA are covered in these patents, as are the products they are engineered to produce. Take Amyris as an example. Through their patent, they own the process of engineering microbes with their synthetic DNA. The synthetic DNA, the microbes themselves, and any products the microbes produce, their children? If these microbes escape and contaminate wild-type relatives, their synthetic DNA could pass on, and Amyris's would theoretically own these new microbes that have been contaminated with synthetic DNA. Let the mic drop there. This is insane. But while it is clear to us that the current court rulings would likely support the patenting of synthetic genomes as developed by Ventnor's lab and other researchers, Congress should prevent the patenting of DNA sequences that simply copy naturally occurring DNA. To do so otherwise would in fact allow another way to patent naturally occurring organisms and their DNAs just to make synthetic copies of them. That is in no one's interest but the patent holders. This was written by Eric Hoffman, a biotechnology policy campaigner with the Friends of Earth US, and J.D. Hansen, who is a policy director with the International Center for Technology Assessment. You heard it here first, guys. Patents on the DNA. The synthesized DNA, which was in that shot.